sunny for them when you do plant them, and they should do really quite well. They're tolerant of a wide variety of conditions of soil, except that which is here in Bartlesville.
Right.
So you want to add a little stuff to the soil so they grow real well. Anyway, golly, I think it's winter over yet.
I don't know. After the last 2 weeks, you would think it's still here, but hopefully spring is right around the corner. As we were talking earlier, you know, the sun's going to come out today. It's going to get warmer, and we have some storms later on this week. So
yeah, it figures
knows.
The peonies are getting ready to bloom.
Yeah.
Storms can always happen. But anyway, yeah, so it looks like we're clear as far as frost is concerned, any chance of freezing is concerned. I should hope so. We had to bug out the other night, and that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Moving, you saw all that inventory on the picture there.
Right.
That's a lot of stuff to move.
You have quite a bit of stuff at the nursery, you do.
Yeah, so anyway. So hopefully it's over with. So right now, is get your soil ready for your annuals if you haven't done it already. They can be planted at this point. The weather looks clear without any frost coming on. And also, you want to consider mulching the beds, too. It does help keep the weeds down. Once you plant your flowers and shortly thereafter, here come the weeds. And you want to do what you can to control those weeds. Now, there are some pre-emergent weed controls you can use right now. You can be ahead of the game and not have that problem by using a combination, perhaps, of the pre-emergent weed controls as well as mulch. Mulch does a good job of not only kind of framing the plant and making it pretty. It cuts down on erosion, it saves water, and it does a good deal to control weeds, only if you put about a 2 or 3 inch layer of mulch down.
Right.
If you just kind of dust it a little bit with one bag to do the whole yard, well, that's not going to do it.
Right.
You need to add a lot more than that. So anyway, so golly, we have all kinds of varieties of annual flowers at the nursery, from petunias to asters, whatever we got.
Yeah, and you were showing me those pictures, like you're saying earlier, and they're absolutely gorgeous plants that you got out there right now.
Right, we're anxiously awaiting spring. So,
yeah, what else do you guys got at the nursery?
All kinds of trees and shrubs too. There's been some spotty shortages on particular shrubs. I guess there's being either a production loss or a buying frenzy, if you will, of different shrubs. So some of them can be a little difficult to acquire, but we do have a good selection of shrubs out there for your garden.
Okay.
So check that out too. And tomatoes.
Ooh.
We got lots of tomatoes, and I plan on planting my tomatoes tomorrow.
Okay.
So we have a collection of pots outside. We put them in a drip system, and they do rather well that way. Above the soggy, wet, heavy soil.
Right.
They do pretty well. And I'm going to grow some gourds in my water oak this year. The leaves have not come out of my water oak yet. So I think it's going to be a framework for birdhouse gourds this year rather than a tree.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You never know.
It's not out yet. That's weird. And I've seen that really on a lot of trees after we've had that polar ice thing come through this winter. That a lot of people's trees, some of them have just not opened up yet. And I think there's going to be some damage on some of the tree species. And it's really odd, though. You get one tree over here and the same species right next to it is coming out just fine. This one in particular isn't coming out. So there had to be something, you know, wrong with the tree, perhaps, when that happened. I know probably my house, they just froze because it's just living on top of the rock.
Right.
Probably got too cold for it. So keep an eye on your trees. Some of them will be just a little bit later coming out. I'm kind of thinking mine will be out a little bit later. So it's not the first time they've done this. So anyway,
right.
We got a caller?
I believe so. Yep, Joe's coming down here to tell me right now that we do have a caller. So we'll take that now. Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener Program. How can we help you?
Yes, good morning. Larry, you said it's good to put Epsom salts around your tomatoes when you plant them. And I was wondering, what about cucumbers? Do they like an acid or a basic?
Well, yeah, the tomatoes like a slightly acidic soil, maybe a pH of 6.5 or something. But cucumbers will do very well in a neutral soil.
In a neutral soil.
You bet.
Most
plants do benefit significantly from the magnesium sulfate of the Epsom salts.
Epsom salts?
Mm-hmm.
Does it help cucumbers put a little Epsom salts around them, too?
It wouldn't hurt, but I wouldn't go too heavy on it. just enough to give them a little extra magnesium.
Yes, and I have a granddaughter lives over at Edmond, and they have real hot, hard well water. If you water a garden with hard well water, does that make it basic?
It could, depending on the analysis of the water.
Okay. Well, they have a softener for the house, but said their tomatoes weren't doing too good, so yeah. Just wondered.
The pH could be a little high on the tomatoes.
That's what I thought, Okay, well, thank you very much.
And your first name is?
Paul.
Paul. Okay, Paul, thank you for calling. You're in the running for a Million Bells hanging basket.
Oh, thank you.
Very good.
Yes.
Cool. Yes, soil chemistry is kind of important, especially if you want some really good tomatoes. Another syndrome of tomatoes, is not only in proper soil pH, is an over... turn this thing down a little bit. That's better. A calcium deficiency is a bit of a problem with tomatoes sometimes, too. And that usually brings on blossom end rot. Makes people so mad. You can see all the all summer long growing these tomatoes just to have the bottom of them rot out. And we do have some spray calcium you can get, or you can just put down some gypsum. The calcium sulfate will help keep the soil calcium levels up where they belong. And keep in mind, tomatoes like it rather warm, too. So
right.
You want an area that has good air circulation and good warmth to the soil, too. And then they'll grow just fine. And a lot of the tomatoes we have in the nursery right now are exhibiting some purplish-colored leaves on them.
Hmm.
And that's due primarily to the cool weather. When gotcha. It's cool, the Lycopersicum, the genus for that, cannot take a potassium very well. And it has a difficult time with making a chlorophyll if you didn't get that. So once it warms up, they'll be fine.
Yeah, which we're getting pretty close. Like you were saying, frost is behind us, hopefully. And
right. And the weather forecast is going to be, 90 degrees tomorrow or something, 80 something?
Pretty close to 90 degrees, yeah.
Yeah, well, if one extreme to the other. Huh?
Yeah.
Maybe that'll melt all the ice in
the air. Probably. The tundra is thawing.
So anyway, so... It's a good idea to have tomatoes out in an open situation. Kind of try, instead of planting them close to the fence, you might want to plant them away from the fence, perhaps. Right. And what really makes really good lattices for the tomatoes is a concrete reinforcing wire. You make a loop out of it, or a cylinder, if you will, and then put it next to it. You want to anchor it with some T-posts or something. Works quite well for your tomatoes if they're isolated like that. Do we have a caller?
We do have a caller, Larry. Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener Program. How can we help you?
Good morning. We have an azalea on the north side of the house, and it is crispy.
Mm-hmm.
So is it probably gone for good?
Not necessarily. I've seen a lot of azaleas that are coming back. And what you want to do is take your thumbnail and scratch the stem. And if there's green below the bark, yeah, it'll come back at that point. Some of these azaleas are going to come from the ground up. You know, depending on the situation. So yeah, it was a pretty hard freeze, and they suffered a little bit. But I am seeing a lot of recovery on them anyway. And depending on the exposure, it'll take them a little bit more time to come back.
Okay.
So
very good.
Don't give up the ship yet. And your first name is
Chris.
Chris, very good, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Another caller on the line.
Alrighty.
Good morning. How can we help you? You are on Green Country Gardener Program.
Yes. Our grapes got froze. Will they come back, or is that the end of them?
Check. The closer to the ground, the more likely they are going to recover. So.
Okay, but this year's crop is probably gone, right?
Probably. You might get enough to make a box of raisins, but...
Okay. Then the apple tree that's all in bloom.
Uh-huh.
Will that ruin them, too?
It's in bloom right now at this point?
Oh, yes. It's been in bloom a while.
Oh, quite. No, it's not going to affect that.
Oh, okay.
So you should be okay.
And then my asparagus, it's kind of... Well, it froze what was up. but it's real slow this year coming out.
A lot of things are a little bit behind schedule due to the cool winter we had.
Right. Well, then my potatoes are black, so that means they're ruined.
They're probably rotted out, yeah. They didn't take, didn't take the freeze too well, so.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Sounds like you had some fair luck here. It's pretty good luck there and bad luck here. So.
Yeah, well, they said no water was 25.
Whoa, okay. Anyway, what's your first name, please?
Judy.
Judy? Okay, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No water got down to 25 degrees the other day.
Ooh, no.
Ooh, that's pretty cold.
It is really cold.
This time of the year, that's really cold. But my plum trees look fine. They got lots of plums this year. None of them are falling off yet. Usually they kind of drop off when they first come out. But that's not happening this year. So
that's good. That's good.
We have another caller?
We do not. But we do have a caller, but we should probably take a break, and we'll be right back with them.
All right. Very good.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. We rent construction equipment. We rent equipment to homeowners. The big thing for this area for us, we call it the weekend special. You rent something on a Friday afternoon, you keep it for the entire weekend, bring it back on Monday morning. It's a one-day rental. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on you to get the job done. You can kind of do it at your own pace, especially being homeowners. You only pay the one-day rental. Works out real well. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 No Water Road, United Rentals.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Into savings at Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City and Independence. Check out the 2021 Chevy Silverado 2500 LT heavy duty diesel with crew cab and four wheel drive for only $62,425. The new Chevy Silverado 1500 for $36,805. You save over $5,000. And the new comfy Buick Encore Preferred boasts more than $6,000 in savings, yours for $20,600. Hurry in before they're gone to Roman Chevy Buick at 2313 West Main in Independence. Your Silverado City.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
Hi, this is Danae Fitzsimmons with Grace Automotive in Bartlesville. Since advertising on KWON Radio, we've experienced an increase in business. Radio gets results.
Radio gets results.
Radio.
Radio gets results. That's
I'm Dave Hunziker, and you've got the Bruins, Cardinals, Cowboys, and more on K1, AM 1400, and FM 93.3.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Garrett Giles. Joining me is Larry Glass. We do have a caller on the line. Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got some tomato questions.
Yes.
First off, it's not good to use a high nitrogen fertilizer on tomatoes, is it?
It's not a good idea.
Okay, and I noticed, like the Miracle-Gro,
it's
you know, for tomatoes, it's really high in nitrogen.
Right.
And I couldn't figure that out.
I would use it sparingly.
Well, yeah, I should go after some of the other nutrients, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because I put some on last year, and my God, the tomatoes just grew. You know, you're talking about using that wire. And that works real good, but it grew up over the top and down over the sides and everything else.
Yeah, I guess so. Did you have a lot of tomatoes last year?
No, I didn't get a lot last year because something happened to them, and I trimmed them back down.
I don't recall fertilizing mine at all, and we were overrun with the silly things.
Yeah.
I was making tomato omelets and tomato sandwiches for lunch, and
I do love my tomatoes. I'd like to get a good crop this year. But I covered my tomatoes because my thermometer out in my yard showed 27, 28 degrees for quite a period of time.
Burr.
The other night. Yeah. And but I covered them up with trash cans, and buckets, and everything else. and around the edges, evidently where it was touching, you know, some of the containers I put over, why they froze around the edges.
Yeah.
Do I trim those back or what?
Yeah, I would go ahead and trim that off because that could introduce some problems.
I'll go back to the main stem?
Yeah.
Okay.
It probably wouldn't hurt anything, but it's still been kind of cool, and the tomatoes just simply are not going to grow.
I knew I was taking a chance when I started those about a month ago and kept them inside, you know, until they, and I put them in 6-inch pots.
Uh-huh.
And then transplanted them.
So you grew your own. You'll have to keep us updated on your success this summer.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, I would use a fertilizer like a 10-20-10 or something. You look at the numbers, and you want a high middle number on your tomatoes.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want excessive top growth. That just brings on.
Didn't quite understand. I guess Miracle Growth thinks people will be happy if their tomatoes grow big, but that's not really the case.
Hmm. Okay.
Right. You know, when they put that, God, it's like 28 or something like that.
Wow. Well, you wouldn't use very much of it then. I would just use.
You know, it's a liquid. Yeah, it's a liquid I mix up.
Yeah.
Okay, now, for my, to put around my tomatoes for mulch, I've got a pretty good sized huge pile of oak leaves that I had crushed up last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot. Is that okay to use for the mulch?
I think so. They do like a slightly lower pH than our soil here is typically, so it wouldn't hurt to do that. You want to do lots of it, though.
Yeah, well, I've got quite a bit left, and I'd like to get it out of there where it's at.
But works.
So that's a good deal.
But works really well as straw. Works quite well as a mulch.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to use straw, and I had a lot of wheat come up.
Well, you make a loaf of bread, too, at the same time.
Bread and tomatoes. Yeah.
Nothing better than a tomato sandwich.
Yeah, you got that right. Okay, well, I thank you, Larry.
All right, and your first name is?
Roger.
Roger. Okay, Roger, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Yes, continuing on with tomatoes, we got all kinds of varieties of tomatoes, too. And I tend to like the yellow ones. The yellow boys are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really try to grow the great big ones because this is just not great big tomato country. Our temperature varies too much. And we can have some cracking of the tomatoes.
And
a little blossom end rot too. But just medium-sized tomatoes do pretty well here. So.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. And I grow mine in containers. And big old nursery cans. We'll probably need to replace them this year. They've been out in the sun too long. They're getting a little cracked up. But
yeah, maybe a little bit.
But anyway, they do pretty well. I just don't really have the square footage in my backyard to grow a lot of tomatoes and things. So typically I grow them in pots. And I have a little hose-in timer. And they're watered rather regularly with little spray misters to keep the soil moisture up fairly constant. An important thing on tomatoes is to try to maintain a constant soil moisture content. You don't want it to get cold, dry, then wet, and then wet, and then dry. And a good heavy layer of mulch will do the same thing.
Right.
You want a more consistent soil moisture content underneath them. The reason being is if it's really wet, they take on a lot of water. Tomatoes take on, then it gets hot, and that's when you get the splitting and the cracking in your tomatoes.
Yeah.
And they're shielded in the midday sun with a deciduous holly plant. So the sun comes up in the morning, and then it shields it in midday, and it's a good splash of an afternoon sun. So we have a lot of tomatoes. So anyway, but use a tomato fertilizer and look at the numbers on it, and just make sure that this is somewhere between a 10-20-10, around that range or something. If you do use a granular fertilizer, you want to apply it sparingly, and rather than just one big dump, you want just a constant slow feed of the fertilizer, just not all the time.
Right.
And then they'll do a lot better with consistency. Works very well. And mulch. The caller was correct about using a lot of mulch. That does help keep the moisture level constant in the soil. Helps keep the soil temperature down a little bit, too.
Okay. Mulch is good.
So, cool.
What else is happening in the garden there, Larry?
Oh, people are really into their annual plants, and also they're into replacing a lot of plants, too. And I've been to, I think, about 450,000 houses this spring, looking at people's Nandinas.
That's quite a few homes.
No, not that. I'm just kidding. Not that many. But nonetheless. And for the most part, the Nandinas survived the cold spell we had. And it's just going to take a little bit of time, some consistent warm weather for them to come up. So that's probably the biggest question we had. My Nandinas are dead. What are they? I tell people, I was at a house yesterday. And they've had Nandinas, I know, that have been there for 30 years.
Oh, goodness.
And he said, I think they're all dead. You need to pull them all out. So we looked real close, and you see little red nodes or growth places where they're starting to grow. I said, give it some more time. We haven't had enough warm weather for the Nandinas to come out. And this is true for the dwarf Nandinas as well. I cut mine back weeks ago, and they're starting to come back. So I think, golly, we get some 80-degree weather coming up, maybe for 4 hours this week, perhaps. It'll get cool again.
Yeah.
they should go ahead and make a bit of a show. And when they do grow, they grow back very quickly, too. That's the thing of them. Now, Nandinas are a member of the barberry family, and they're immune to basically everything. So don't worry about diseases or anything on them. The only one that really has a disease problem might be the dwarf Nandina. And it's a very, very minor problem. They get a little bit of entomosporium on them. But it doesn't cause any problems. It just kind of distorts the leaves a little bit. So as long as it stays fairly warm this spring, it should make a good comeback. And actually, the Nandinas benefit from being cut back rather sternly every 3 years anyway.
Right.
So this was kind of a disciplinary thing for them, if you will. And they're going to come back looking really nice. Now, I tell people, I just want to replace that. I want it to look good right now. So, well, look at it this way. You have your root system underground, which is intact, and it's going to feed those newly emerging cells, if you will, on the plant a lot faster than putting in a new one with a smaller root system. So it'll come back. So
just give it time.
Give it a little bit of time. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of going with, and crepe myrtles, that's the biggest question. Another big way, well, my crepe myrtles, they look like they're dying. Well, a lot of times crepe myrtles aren't out this time of year anyway.
Right.
Typically, sometimes it takes the middle of May for them to really begin to emerge. And I am seeing some emergence on the crepe myrtles, too. They'll start out from the bottom, and the emergence will go up the branches. And you'll see some adventitious buds popping out on the branches here and there. And adventitious is something that comes basically from the differentiation occurs just basically out of nowhere. And the tissues change and whatever. That's what's called that's why it's called adventitious.
Okay.
And you get a lot of that on your stems as they grow up.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So don't give up on your crepe myrtles yet. Just give them some more time. They have a real heavy root system, and it should support some rather rapid growth. But the key factor in this is the warmth. It wouldn't hurt to fertilize them a little bit, too. I wouldn't go real heavy on at this point, but I would go ahead and give them something to get them going. Say, what I mentioned for the tomatoes, or a blooming type fertilizer with some emphasis on the phosphorus at this point. And when they really get going, then you can put a little nitrogen on them maybe to get them to go up pretty good. They say if you do put some nitrogen on your tomatoes, on your crepe myrtles,
tomatoes, <tomato.
laughs> in late May, before they begin to bloom, that helps them out a bit too. So I would refrain from that at this point. So crepe myrtles are coming out, Nandinas are coming out, holly plants too. They took a real big problem. I go to people's houses and I said, well, it looks like a 747 took off in your front yard. Your shrubs are all just burned.
Oh my goodness.
I said, they'll come back. And some of the hollies in people's yards, I was observing that yesterday, they are coming back.
Right.
So I think for the most part, the hollies did okay. The dwarf yaupon hollies and the yaupon hollies took a bit of a hit too. And you look real close on your yaupon hollies, you'll see these tiny little purplish, but almost black buds on them real close at this point. And they're going to emerge real nicely too. So I think we'll be all right.
I think so too, Larry. And I think we'll take a quick break really quick. We'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener program.
You've heard it said, I saw it on the radio.
Well, that's true.
But now the radio can be your computer,
your smartphone,
tablet, or any internet-connected device.
Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner.
And you won't miss a minute of news, sports, or entertainment.
You can take us with you anywhere in the world.
We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion.
Shop Peters True Value in Dewey for great bargains. It's time to think about fertilizing your lawn for spring. Peters has Scott's Southern Triple Action Fertilizer for a 4,000 square foot lawn for $24.99 after a $3 instant in-store rebate. Save on Morton 40-pound water softening pellets and clean and protect, reducing iron buildup for $6.49. And save on Duracell batteries. Get an 8-pack of AA or AAA for just $7.99 each. Save on these and other great bargains at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. The Weatherline is brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
Anniversary coming up? Call K1 at 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the names and dates, because each morning we announce anniversaries and select one couple to win a $10 gift certificate from Sterling's Grill, helping you celebrate that special anniversary. Call us 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the name and date, and we'll add it to our list. Happy anniversary from your friends at K1.
I got a little change in my pocket, Gordon. Jingle-a-ling-a-ling. Want to call you on the telephone, baby. I give you a ring, but each time we talk, I get the same old thing. Always no huggy-duggies, until I get a...
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, you can call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And Larry, I think we actually do have a caller on the line. We can go ahead and take that right now.
All righty.
Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener Program.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, when is it safe to plant my annuals?
Right now.
All right.
Good time. Get that dirt ready, though.
Okay, how can I do that?
Typically, you take a shovel or a tiller and loosen up the soil real good. And not only does it make it easier to plant them, but the root system can grow out real good and get those roots in real good before the heat hits.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, your first name is?
Debbie.
Debbie, okay. Debbie, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And Larry, we do have another caller, I do believe, on the line.
Yes, go ahead.
Here.
Good morning. Can you hear us?
Yes. I have an azalea, and I can't really tell if there's any buds on there yet or not. I can't remember what time of the year that they bloom. I've just had it for 1 year, so I'm not familiar with its schedule yet.
Well, so, they don't really go on a – you can't count on a specific time. The weather factors can cause some delay in the leaf emergence and also the blooms too. Azaleas are a little late this year, so – look at the bark, underneath the bark on the stem, and see if there's any green underneath it.
Anyway, it's alive. It's got a lot of leaves.
Oh, okay, but it's not blooming.
I just can't tell if it's if the buds there is like a little tiny thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, can't really see anything that really looks like a bud.
I see.
But it's really well leafed out. I mulched it really good over the winter, so it survived.
Right.
Another one that did the same way, and it did not survive. I don't know why one did and one didn't, but I've got one that survived. But like I said, I don't know. When should I fertilize it?
You fertilize
after.
Okay. The fact that it's not blooming could be just a delay from the weather. It could be the buds, the flower buds. You know, they set them in July and August of the year previous. And they could have gotten frozen out in our polar blast we had. So they might not have any blooms on them this year. But as far as fertilizer is concerned, you want to do one application right now. And when you do apply the fertilizer to the azalea, you want to give it over the entire area where the root is, not just next to the trunk, but spread it out and do a light application. And then a month later, do another light application. Then a month later, another light application. You do that because azaleas are very shallow rooted and the roots can get burned by too much fertilization at one time. So we want to spread it out over three applications.
Yeah, and which kind is preferable?
Right now is number one, and another 30 days would be number two, and 30 days after that would be number three.
I know, but what kind?
Azalea fertilizer specifically.
Oh, okay. For azaleas, okay.
Yeah, that would help. Now, are the how's the leaf size on your azalea? Are they pretty good size, or are they real tiny?
They're pretty good size.
Okay, it sounds like your pH is probably pretty good then. So yeah, a lot of people forget to fertilize their azaleas, and they just don't do that well. So you might need to go ahead and start a regular program of fertilization when it's actively growing right now, and then don't try to fertilize it after June.
So do they kind of have a system like when it warms up, a month later they bloom, or?
Yeah, typically when spring breaks, typically when we have more consistent spring weather, the blooms will go ahead and mature and bloom. Because the blooms, when winter hits, the blooms are already on it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
I knew that about some things, but I didn't know that about this one.
Yeah, they bloom. They set their blooms in July and August.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So you want to make sure your fertilization's out of the way by then, and then make sure they have adequate moisture in midsummer, so they'll go ahead and produce a lot of blooms.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, Azalea 101. And your first name is?
Kathy.
Thanks for calling, Kathy.
And Larry, we do have another caller on the line.
Okay, put him on.
Getting all the calls today. Good morning, how can we help you? You're on the Green Country Gardener.
Well, I cut my crepe myrtle back in February.
Yes.
And now it's hardly got any leaves on it at all. Is it just too early, or did I do something wrong?
That's typical for crepe myrtles at this point in time, considering the weather we had previously.
So I'm still okay.
You should be.
Yes. I didn't kill it.
No. You can cut them all the way to the ground, and they'll still come back up.
Oh,
and okay, actually, I
usually do about 2.5 feet above the ground. And
I don't cut mine back until the leaves come out, and usually it's about about 1st of May, the middle of May when I cut it back.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good to know. I learned something today. Thank you very much.
All righty, and your first name is?
Jackie,
thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put out some leaves, and differentiation occurs close to the middle of summer when the days are at their longest. So, and then they'll start to set their blooms. So we have a caller.
We do have another caller, Larry. Good morning. Alrighty. You're on the Green Country Gardener.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm wondering what kind of tree spike fertilizer you should use, the ones you pound into the soil.
Right. There are a lot of them out there. The Jobs are the popular one, but there are a lot of tree spikes out there. So you always want to follow directions on the specific one that you get. It should say on the instructions how many to get per inch of diameter of the trunk. And then you then you distribute them evenly at the drip line.
At the drip line. Okay. Uh-huh. And do you carry them?
We don't carry those, no.
Okay. I just wondered if, you know, you needed to use them or it's a necessity or other things use around the tree?
Yeah, the tree spikes are a convenient way to fertilize the trees. And it was an invention done a long time ago. And it's good. It makes people feel good. But the fertilizer is typically distributed at a specific narrow point right there. Now, the fertilizer salts will diffuse into the soil to a point. But really, I prefer just to use a fertilizer, distributed, granular type fertilizer, at the drip line of the tree. And it distributes more evenly the fertilizer rather than a specific point.
All right.
So there's pros and cons. It's convenient and easy, and to do the the fertilizer spikes. It's also convenient and easy just to apply some fertilizer at the drip zone around the tree.
Very good. I will try that. Thank you for your help.
And your first name is?
Roseanne.
Roseanne. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Larry, I think we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Millwater Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Remember your high school days. Those are memories you can never forget. Join senior students of Copan High School as they reminisce about their school days this afternoon on News Talk KWNAM 1400 and FM 93.3. Join student representatives from Copan High School when they'll be here today for class day to entertain you with conversation and their favorite music. Class Day is brought to you by Bartnett IP, LPL Painting, Oklahoma Wesleyan University, Senator Julie Daniels, Patriot Chevrolet, Representative Judd Strom, and Pizza Hut of Bartlesville. Tune in for music and memories during Copan High School Class Day this afternoon on News Talk KWNAM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Go back to the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles with Larry Glass. The number to call if you have any gardening questions or lawn questions or anything related to the outdoors, Larry, call us at 918-336.
We were talking about the Japanese maple.
Uh-huh.
And golly, there's so many configurations of the Japanese maple that it's kind of mind-boggling. And they grow to mature at different sizes, if you will, and different colors. So, the Bloodgood is the most popular one. They're the ones you see everywhere else. The purple leaves are really brilliant at this point in time, I guess anti-brilliant. They're dark purple really isn't overly brilliant. But anyway, they show up real well in the landscape this time of year. Mm-hmm. The newly emerging leaves are really quite purple, if you will. And keep in mind how big this particular Japanese maple gets. I see a lot of them planted 2 feet from the house. And then they grow out, and they have to grow around the eave of the house and like that. So a regular Japanese maple, like a Bloodgood, should be about 10 feet away from the house. Now, that seems like such a great distance when you first plant this lonely little tree out there by itself. But it won't be that way for long. They grow. They can grow and mature and be a real attractive specimen if you're that far away from the house.
Right.
Now, Japanese maples, first of all, do like fairly good drainage. They're, by all means, they're not a bottomland tree. They're kind of an upland sort of tree. So they prefer an area that doesn't really sit in water a lot when it rains. So you can develop root rot and some necrosis and stuff if they are really wet on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. So an area that's well-drained primarily. And secondarily, of course, the distance from the house is important. And some pretty good soil. And if you can shield them from the hot sun during the midday, that would be really good. They associate real nicely around oak trees, if you will, because the oak tree roots tend to be deeper than regular maple trees or something that have shallow roots.
Right.
And they are totally incompatible with hackberries. Although I have found some surviving rather well in under hackberry trees too. They can compete successfully because they're a maple.
Right.
Typically, they have a heavy root system on them. So they, as far as compatibility with other shrubs, they seem to associate nicely with azaleas because they can tolerate the pH shift that azaleas require. They can grow in a lower pH soil. So that's one factor of the Japanese maple that's pretty good. So, yeah, enjoy them. Really nice. Now, as far as shapes are concerned, there's the Crimson Queen Japanese maple, which is a weeping variety.
Okay.
They get you need to give them about 6 to 10 feet too of room, unless you want to clip them consistently throughout their lifespan just to keep them in check. Now there are some miniature growing ones. We sold one, planted one this last week. It only gets maybe 6 feet tall and so on. So there are some that stay in bounds close to the house like that. And the Japanese maples respond very well to fertilization. They're extremely cold hardy. They seem to take the drought real well. The leaves tend to tatter a little bit in the wind, though. In other words, the tips of the leaves tend to look a little rustic, if you will,
right,
when you get very windy, because just they're very thin or diaphanous leaves. And they do tend to tatter on the edges. It's hard to sell a Japanese maple after a long wind spell because the leaves are tattered.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of it. They do need some protection from our winds here, so that's kind of an issue with them, too. So overall, they're a really good plant. Now, you say, okay, I want something purple, and I've got full sun. Well, there are other plants, too. There's the purple smoke tree.
Gotcha.
It has purplish purple leaves in it in the full sun. They don't grow in the shade. They need full sun. And we do have some purple leaf crepe myrtles, too, that grow up like a crepe myrtle, and they bloom, too. And they give you that purple color also. And there's nine barks, and there's our purple leaf plum, which is can be a real horrible tree.
Right.
Because like a lot of members of the fruit tree family, like the prunus family, they can develop a black spot and other problems, like borers and what have you. They can be a little bit of a nightmare if you don't really maintain it very well. So anyway. So there are alternatives to the Japanese maple, but it's nothing more beautiful, I think, than a great big old Japanese maple with an oak tree close by and away from the house, framing the house rather than hiding it. It can be really an asset in your composition.
Yeah.
So consider them in the landscape. So good plants. Easy to grow. They do develop over time. They can have some problems with stem anthracnose and borers. And I noticed lately on some people's scale insect has attacked some Japanese maples.
Gotcha.
Scale insect is very difficult to detect because they don't do much. They just kind of sit there on the stem.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow and multiply and so on, and then they actually draw the juices out of the plant. It's parasitic, if you will, on the plant.
Right.
And they're kind of hard to see because they are so close to the branch. If you look at it real closely, then you can see them. So you might want to inspect the stems of your Japanese maples as this problem increases. It's already a bad problem with the crepe myrtles. And there is a simple solution. It's the tree and shrub drench does a very good job to keep them under control. That's a imidacloprid-based chemical that works systemically to control the scale insect. So look at it real closely, and if you see some stuff flaking off of the stem, then you got a problem with scale. I don't know how well the scale is going to do after this winter we had, if it's going to survive real well or not. Well, we just don't know yet. But
right.
Hopefully it did have a negative effect on the scale insect populations as well.
Hopefully it did indeed, Larry. And you're listening to the Green Country Gardener program. We're going to take one more break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more with Larry before we wrap up the show for today.
Back in the early 1930s, Frank and Jane Phillips hosted a wonderful party at their lodge home at Willow Rock. For this special party, Frank hired the world-famous magician Harry Blackstone to provide the entertainment for the large crowd. Throughout the evening, Blackstone amazed the guests with his card tricks and sleight of hand, with the crowd applauding and laughing as the tricks got better and better. Finally, Blackstone asked Jane Phillips to step forward. He reached into his coat, and removed a new deck of cards and dramatically unwrapped them, removed the cards from the deck, and shuffled them several times. He then asked Mrs. Phillips to cut the cards, which she did, pulling the Queen of Spades, which she showed to the crowd. She put the card back into the deck, and Blackstone carefully shuffled the cards two or three times, then suddenly spun around and threw the entire deck of cards into the wall of the lodge, just to the left of the front door. 51 cards fell to the floor, and the Queen of Spades stuck on the wall, where it still remains today. A perfect example of the magic of Willow Rock. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
BartlesvilleRadio.com is your source for what's going on in the community and around the world. Click on BartlesvilleRadio.com and check out local and national news, upcoming events, lost or found animals, listener birthdays, anniversaries, up to the second real-time reports, and of course the latest news, weather, market news, and local sports scores and schedules. If it's on the air locally, it's on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com.
We are the entertainment you love and information that shapes your day. We are your lifeline. We are your companion. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
And we're back with the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Garrett Giles. With me is Larry Glass. Larry, what's going on at the nursery?
Golly, I showed you some images I took last night on the way home, and we are fully stocked with all kinds of annuals and perennials, trees and shrubs, so whatever shrubs we can get, we're having a little difficulty getting a lot of things that we want to get, merely because there's a great deal of demand on a lot of shrubs. So for the most part, we're pretty well stocked, so come and check us out. Okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, golly. We didn't talk about the vine of the week, clematis. The clematis are blooming right now. And well, some of them are blooming, some of them are not. There's emergence is variable depending on the amount of sunlight they get. But they seem like they successfully survived this cold spell. So for the most part, I think the clematis, and some of them are starting to really put on a really big shoe right now. So we need to announce our winners on the million bells. Basket.
It's a mouthful. It is
million bills basket.
You want me to mention them?
Go ahead.
The callers that we had today that have won this giveaway are Paul, Chris, Roger, Debbie, Kathy, and Jackie.
Okay.
And they can come pick up their certificate here at the radio station. We're at 1200 Southeast Frank Phillips Boulevard. Can't miss us for the big white building with the satellites in front of it.
It's that odd-looking building from 1972.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. Anyway, on your, you should get some emergence on your perennials. The peonies are starting to bloom right now. I've got some at home that are starting to bloom real good. Perennial of the week is Heuchera, or Chatterbox, or Corbels is the name of that plant. And it's a really good perennial to get. They were up really, really early this spring. And as they get more established, the leaves only get larger, if you will. So they're very colorful. It's called Heuchera. And they do like the shade. So you might want to consider getting some of those for the shade garden. They put a little sparkle in the landscape in the summer and early in the spring. Really kind of nice. Along with the, they sort of come out at the same time the hellebores come out, the Lenten rose. They've already done their thing.
Right.
They bloom, and we talked about that back in February. The Lenten rose, very attractive flower coming up. When I slipped through the ice to get to the radio station, we talked about
back,
on there.
Back then.
So anyway, we do have a pretty good selection of clematis on hand right now. It's time to maybe think about doing some planning for your landscape. We've got all summer to put it in, so don't be in too big a rush to do your landscape installation. It can be done most any time, really. We put in landscapes all year round, as long as it doesn't rain or freeze or whatever.
Right.
That kind of put a dent in my schedule, so we're a little behind on that. But we'll get caught up if the weather cooperates. Doesn't look like it's going to cooperate very good this next week, though.
Yeah, the rain's going to be hit or miss for you. But
thank you. I need that.
Yeah.
You can't do ground prep in the mud.
No, you cannot.
Anyway, at the nursery, you have a good selection of vegetables and flowering plants and shrubs and things. So come check us out. And by all means, when you're there, keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Thank you, Larry. We'll see you next week for the Green Country Gardener. We'll get you to CBS News coming up next.
Insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460.